Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago, and boy oh boy, are Pesach preparations in high gear, and I need to give my wife, Suri, and my daughters a huge shout out for their incredible work. The preparations for Pesach are, it's honestly hard to describe what the preparations of Passover are when you go all the way. And the cleaning and the utter changing over of your whole house to a new entity is truly remarkable. And we feel incredibly blessed to have our children who are on board with this mission, this national mission of Pesach, 3,335 years and counting. This Pesach will be 3,335 years since we left Egypt. And we have a lot to talk about tonight in terms of the Passover Seder. We're going to focus on Dayenu because that's a fan favorite, right? You got to make Passover Seder fun. You got to make it funny, but you got to make it real also. You got to make it something that's going to be memorable. And there's something about Dayenu, that section of the Haggadah, of Magid, of the section where we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, of recounting the episode, the story, the saga, the drama of the Jewish people leaving Egypt 3,335 years ago. Now, by the way, we have a mitzvah in the morning and in the evening every day of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, of remembering leaving Egypt, that we say with the Shema prayer that we say in the morning and the evening. So what's different? The mitzvah on the night of Passover is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sipur means to tell over, to relate. To lispor means to count. So even in English you get this, to recount, to recount. There's something about counting and telling over, and I think it's that each detail counts, literally. And so, therefore, no stone goes unturned, and we count and recount the details. We tell over the details of how we left Egypt, and that can go on for hours and hours and hours. That is wonderful news for many of you, and that may not be... I won't finish that sentence. It's wonderful news for all of us, right? Everyone needs to find the Seder that's going to speak to them, and it's going to connect them to the authentic experience of leaving Egypt. Okay, and so in this section, there are 15 sections of the Haggadah, which we're going to get to shortly because it's going to be directly related to Dayenu. In this section of Magid is when we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is telling over at length the leaving of Egypt. In that section of Magid, towards the end of it, is a prayer, but it's not really a prayer. It's a section called Dayenu. Now, we all know the tune. You ready? You're in your car. You're on the Peloton. Let's do it. A one, a two, a one, two, three. Dayenu. Dayenu. Come on, admit it. Your feet are stomping. Your fingers are snapping. There is something catchy about that Dayenu tune. Now, I do not know who came up with that tune. If someone can tell me, that would be amazing. I do get wonderful feedback each week from Monday Motivation. I would love to know who came up with the tune to Dayenu. But whatever it is, there's something about Dayenu that resonates, that's melodious to our neshamas, to our souls. There's something beloved about that section of the Haggadah. And the question is why? And that's what we're going to focus on this edition of Monday Motivation. Okay, so we'll start with a little bit of a joke. So what does Dayenu actually mean? So many of you actually know the translation. It would be enough for us. So a little bit, now those who know Hebrew, bear with me, because I'm going to do a little basic Hebrew here, that when a noun or even a verb ends with nun vav, dayenu, it would have been enough for us. So the word "dai" in Hebrew means what? It means enough. So this comes up a lot, actually, when Israelis move to America. And I've had this not once, not twice, many times. And Israelis move to America and they're living in an apartment building, okay? And they have a dog. And the dog is just over the top, out of control. And the Israelis say to the dog, "Die, die, die." And the Americans are looking at these Israelis. They're telling their dog to die. It's just too funny. I've had that multiple times. And when you go to Israel and you see this, it's actually really funny for the American, even though, thank God, I am proficient in Hebrew. Every time I hear an Israeli tell their animal to die because they're misbehaving, I'm like, whoa, dude, chill a little bit. You need to calm down. Don't tell your animal to die. Okay, but now you'll never forget what the word die means in Hebrew. It means enough. So die, if means enough, dayenu means it's enough for us. It would have been enough for us. And the question is, what in the world is enough? Does this prayer? You know, it's so funny. I keep calling it a prayer. It's not a prayer. It's a section of the Gada. But in a certain sense, it is a prayer. Maybe we'll explore that later. But this section, dayenu, it would have been enough for us. There are 15 steps of dayenu. There are 15 steps to this section. And the question is, where does the number 15 come in to the Haggadah? It's dayenu is not the first rodeo where the number 15 comes in. And it originally comes in that there are 15 steps of the Haggadah in and of itself. From Kadesh to Tzafun, Bareich, Hallel, the Nirtza is the last one, last step. There are 15 steps to the Haggadah. And 15 is a significant Jewish number. Why? Because if we know, we've done this before about Gematria, which is the numerical equivalent of each letter, that the number 15 is the combination of the letter Yud, which is 10, and the letter He, which is 5, which is 15, which a Yud and a He spells the name of God. Anytime you have 15 steps, or the number 15 anywhere in the Torah, or later on in Nach, or anywhere in rabbinic literature, you are going to find 15 represents godliness. And in fact, a path upwards towards godliness. There were 15 essential steps from the lower courtyard up until the main courtyard where the animal offerings were brought in the temple. From the Ezras Nashim up to the Ezras Yisrael, where Shari Nicanor were, there were 15 semicircular rainbow-shaped steps. And in a special time of the year, which we're going to talk about briefly, that's where the Levim stood for singing. Now, normally, they were inside, further inside. Now, it's hard to do this without a map, but in times of the temple, the regular service was further inside the actual temple, and that's where the Levites normally stood, and there was a whole chorus and instruments. One of my young professionals, actually, Jacob, who gets a shout-out often on Monday Motivation, asked me about where are there tubas in the Torah. I said, well, there are trumpets in the Torah, but there are tons and tons of instruments in the temple itself, and they normally played on the inside. But one special time of year on Sukkot, when there was a special offering, a water offering, where they poured special water onto the altar, recognizing that everything that comes from the Almighty, even water, especially water, this is before desalination and before any, you know, all of the modern techniques to create water from salt water. Okay, and so therefore water was an essential ingredient. We, at the time of Sukkot, we poured water on the altar, and that was the key time of joy and happiness, because it symbolized a recognition that the Almighty controls everything. It's a source of blessing of everything. And when we were pouring those libations, those water libations, the Levites were singing, not in their regular place inside the courtyard. They were outside on these special 15 steps, because that symbolized that moment of spiritual elevation, going from point A to going to point B. So ladies and gentlemen, the Seder is 15 steps. Why? Because it's not just a little cute time to get together. It is a time of spiritual elevation. And those people who stop at the meal, you're missing out. You're not getting to 15. So step up. You can do it. All 15 steps are a crucial part of this process. And so too Dayenu. And now we're going to get into Dayenu. Why is Dayenu so important? Is because these 15 steps represent the ultimate spiritual elevation towards our close, intimate, powerful, beautiful, deep, and meaningful relationship with Hashem, with God Himself. How? What is special about Dayenu? Because Dayenu, and the answer is, deals with gratitude. And we Jews, that's our MO, that's who we are. That's our mojo. That's our feng shui. I don't know what feng shui is really. I just kind of use it. But that is how we roll. We are Yehudim. We've said this many times. We are Yehudim. We are those who are thankers. Judaism. His mother Leah gave extra thanks to him. She was only supposed to, based on calculations, have 3 sons. She had 4. She ended up having 6. But the moment she knew she got more than she should have, she gave extra thanks to God. And she named him Yehuda, which means Judah, which means Lahodot, which means to thank. And that is who we are. We recognize and we thank the Almighty, the CEO of the universe, that He gives us everything. And at Dayenu, and here we are towards the end of the Magid, where we've recounted the most difficult enslavement and persecution of our people that was only going to kick off the next 3,335 years, which many of them, certainly in the last 2,000 years, have been in exile. Not under self-determination, under the thumb, sometimes the benevolent thumb, but unfortunately most times the unbenevolent thumb of the nations of the world. And we say, Dayenu, it would have been enough. Thank you, Hashem, for everything you have given us. And so let's go through this Dayenu of what would have been enough. So we say, we begin the prayer, it's towards the end of Magid, and it says, Kama ma'alos tovos l'makom aleinu. How many great elevations, literally aliyah, it's like a step. How many great favors, they translate it, but it's really elevations, has God bestowed upon us. And here we go. Ilu otzianu mi mitzrayim velo asavem shefatim. Dayenu. I know you're in your car singing Dayenu. Okay, so what does it say? The first thing we say, if God had taken us out of Egypt and would not have put judgments on them, meaning as we know that when we left Egypt, even before, there were 10 plagues of massive proportions exacting justice upon us. And there's a wonderful Haggadah in English called the Commentator's Haggadah, written by Rabbi Yitzhak Sender. It's collecting from many, many commentators. They're actually local here in Chicago. And he brings a commentary from the Noda Behuda, famous rabbi in Prague, and in his Sefer Drushe Hatzlach. It's just incredible, the idea of how he lays out what the Dayenu is all about. So you can imagine, he says, an analogy of a king with a devoted servant. And the king promises to reward these servants' children forever, evermore. However, if the children did not deserve the reward, the king would fulfill his promise. But instead of him doing it in like the Spitz MVP nice way, he would do it in, basically, he would fulfill the minimal amount of the promise. And so he continues to draw that analogy because Hashem Almighty promised greatness for us to be delivered to Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov and the great leaders of the Jewish people. And unfortunately, the Jewish people, after 210 years of being in Egypt, the last 90 years of which were like Auschwitz-type conditions. Can you imagine Auschwitz-type conditions for 90 years? Incredible. But nevertheless, we sunk to such a low level. And therefore, God did not need to shower upon us the highest level of all the goodies that he gave to us. We really didn't deserve it. And so therefore we're saying, God, you brought us out of Egypt and you judged the Egyptians. But we did some of the same sins the Egyptians did. But you showered the love upon us to show us that you believed in us. And you exacted punishment from them because they were excessively cruel. You could have just taken us out. You didn't need to punish them. No, you showed us the beauty, the precision of your justice. And also the next one, Ilo asavahem shmatim v'lo asav Elohim. Maybe you shouldn't have judged their gods because, hey, some of the Jews served their gods also. No. And Makas Bechoros, the final one, all of the idols of Egypt fell and crumbled. Okay? And had he slain their firstborn and not given us their wealth, we keep going on that Hashem showered upon us, even though we didn't deserve it. And that's really where gratitude comes from. Gratitude comes from a point where I don't deserve it. I really do not deserve what I'm getting, and therefore I'm grateful for what I have. And if you want to know, one of the great sicknesses of our culture is that we lack this. We lack the ability to recognize that everything is a gift. Going back to our Israelis, there is an expression, they say, Magiali, it is coming to me. Like everything's coming to me. No, I love my Israelis, don't worry. I got many Israelis listening to this podcast. They'll all smile when they know that expression. Nothing's coming to us. Where's our default setting? Is our default setting that God owes us everything? No. Our default setting is that God owes us nothing. And anything we get is Dayenu. It is a reason to be grateful. There's one fascinating one that I always love. It's that had God brought us to Mount Sinai and not given us the Torah, what? Our entire purpose for the moral compass, the GPS, the guiding directives of the Jewish people, it would have been enough to us to stand at Mount Sinai. There's a beautiful idea. It says that when we stood at Mount Sinai, at Har Sinai, we were ke'ish echad b'lev echad. We were like one person with one heart. There was a unity, a collective togetherness, not only physically, but spiritually. And in that environment, that's how the Almighty could give us the Torah. The Jewish people are so torn up today, everywhere, especially in Israel right now, unfortunately, with all this just terrible disunity. And this message of the Haggadah, this Dayenu, would have been enough for us to stand at Mount Sinai together as one nation. And may these words of Dayenu ring through, not only in America, but throughout the world, and especially in Israel, where this message, it's so special for Jews to get together and to be unified. And the final point about Dayenu that I think is so practical, there's so much more, but the final point that I want to share with you in this podcast is that this is how you thank someone. You don't thank someone saying, oh, thanks for the cake, Mom. I really appreciate it. No, you say, Mom, thanks for going to the store. Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for thinking of my birthday. Thank you for picking out the exact type of ingredients that you know that I like. And thank you for mixing the cake. And thank you for baking it and then putting the icing on. And thank you for serving it in such a beautiful way. And thank you for the party streamers and the hats. And when you get a thank you like that, you feel appreciated. It's so true in personal relationships. I do my best. I don't always succeed. I do my best to write personal thank you notes to as many of our Project 613 supporters as I possibly can. Why? Because I want them to feel appreciated. And this is what we are doing the night of the Seder. We're saying, Almighty Hashem, thank you. You have kept us alive. And you've had us impact the world like no other nation ever in human history for 3,335 years. And we've been beat up in the process and we're not backing down. And so folks, this is the night to strap on our thank you glasses and be grateful for everything the Almighty does for us and to be proud that we're Jewish. It's not just fake fluffy pride. We are part of the greatest nation ever to exist on planet Earth, and you have a VIP seat in the 50-yard line box, and you can't figure out that your manicure can't be moved to a different date? Let's go. Let's do this. It's a privilege and a pleasure and an honor to be Jewish, and this is the night of our greatness, and let us all be thankful to the Almighty, and I'm certainly thankful to each and every one of you for listening and supporting Monday Motivation. God bless. Have a wonderful Pesach. I'm going to take next week off, give myself a week off, and we'll see you after Pesach. God bless, and have a beautiful Chag Kasher L'Sameach.